Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Welcome to another episode of the We Are Women podcast. I am Janine Vosper, your host, and with me today I have Sydney O'Sullivan. Now, Sydney is a 14 times best-selling author, and she has helped hundreds of authors with ghostwriting, publishing, and promotion to achieve bestseller status, not just results, Cindy, status. And she's also founder of the Motivational Speakers International and representing celebrity and aspiring speakers from around the world. And in this year alone, Sydney has spoken in front of thousands of people and more than 2,000 in one event in India. I'm going to ask you about that because that's been a little bit of passion of mine as well. Is there just so many people there to speak to, isn't there?
Yeah, and they really make you feel like a celebrity, which I thought was great fun. They mob you when you get off stage, and everybody wants to do selfies and add you on Facebook, and it's quite fun. Yeah, they love their mobile phones there.
Oh, they do. Yeah, I've travelled there last October, and I just fell in love with the country. It's amazing. So your passion is to help others craft their million-dollar message. So as a speaker, consultant, and mentor for over 15 years, Sydney has developed the ability to simplify complex issues and bring a sense of fun, ensuring all training events are entertaining and informative. Sydney has been a multimillionaire and lost it, built it all again, and now enjoys putting her knowledge and skills to greater reach by helping others. And maybe, just like you, and that is definitely my audience, live the life to the fullest potential. Welcome, Sydney.
Oh, thank you, Jane. Thank you for having me.
Oh, most welcome. And that is, you know, certainly an impressive bio and introduction. And, you know, your ability to help other speakers do well and authors do well and have best-selling books and to be able to speak internationally must bring you a lot of joy.
It does, Janine. I really do enjoy it. I've built my businesses in lots of different fields. So when I first started out in business, I was in my early 20s and I was in the food business. So I built up restaurants and then I got into real estate investing and then I got into stock market investing. And I made a lot of money doing all those things, but more this year than ever before, what brings me great joy is making a difference in the world and helping other people step up to their fullest potential, because I honestly get to see this ripple effect. I'm naturally a teacher. You know, it's my personality is that I really like to teach people and love to be of service to others, which I think you would also resonate with, you know, really helping people step into their confidence and tell their story. And so it's not just working with people who are established speakers, although I do work with some of the top speakers in the world. I really enjoy helping people who have never been a speaker add that to their repertoire, craft their message in a way that it's entertaining to others, and then, you know, get out there and start making a difference. So what's been wonderful is, and I'll talk more about this later if you'd like, is I was diagnosed with cancer last year, and I felt when I was having my radiation treatments, it was kind of a forced meditation for me. And I felt like my higher consciousness was saying to me, you know, you haven't really been living to your fullest potential. You've got so much more to give. And so I started saying, whereas I used to sort of be in the background helping other people get onto stages, I started saying yes to doing all of these big stages. And what I really love is that I'm able to inspire others with my story, but it made me realize that we don't have all the time in the world. You know, we think, well, I'll do that one day. I'll write my book one day. I'll get out and launch my training program one day. And when I got the surprise diagnosis that I had cancer, it was like, oh gosh, you know, maybe that one day has to be now. Yeah. Because I may not have another 30, 40 years like I thought, you know. And so it actually really motivated me to to take on passion projects and work with people who are doing good work, who just don't know how to market themselves properly, and kind of be the wind beneath their wings, because there's only so much I can do. But if I can enable others to do great work, then I get to participate in that ripple effect, you know. So I'm very, very proud of so many of the people that I'm working with now, because they're doing wonderful work and in lots of different fields. We live in a culture, unfortunately, that's plagued with lots and lots of first world problems. Yes. You know, where there's an awful lot of people that are not making enough money. On top of that, there's a lot of people that are choosing to end their lives because they're plagued with, you know, doubt and depression. We've got, you know, we've got obesity, which is unparalleled, you know, ever in history. And when I hear about children, you know, choosing to commit suicide because they are worried about their exams, I think, what is wrong with our society that we're putting them under this incredible pressure, you know? So what I love is that I get to help people who are doing something about all those different things. You know, I've got clients that work with parents of autistic children. I've got clients who work with people who are dealing with post-traumatic stress. I've got clients who are working with people who help others, you know, build their confidence, like you do. And it means that I can just help them get their message out, do a program that gets in front of a lot of people, maybe get on stages and start making a difference in the world.
Yeah, that's, and just having, you know, dealing with people with lots of different passions, what I'm hearing is they resonate so much with you, they become your passion as well.
Yeah, well, I get to use my experience, my life experience, and this is the thing that always surprises me, is how many of us have spent our lives, you know, honing skills. Maybe we went and got education, or we invested in ourselves very heavily, if not with money. Many of us have invested heavily with money, but we've also invested heavily with our time and our attention to become masterful in something. But we often don't realize how much value we can give others who haven't done the same journey, you know, but would like to. And what I've found is that we only need to be a little bit ahead or have had some experience, and we can be of great value helping others have a shortcut to success, as opposed to having to go the long way and make all the mistakes that we made.
And that's one of the things, isn't it, that people often don't value what they can offer to others enough, because it comes easy to them and it's something they've already done, or they've been doing it for years, so can't everybody else do that as well?
Yeah.
And as you said, we're on such different journeys. The expertise that we all gain in our own fields is because it's easy for us. It doesn't matter what, you know, for others, it's something that they crave because it's not something that they can do.
You're right. We do so often undervalue what seems to be easy for us because it's either a talent, you know, a God-given gift, you know, something that we're just really great at, or we actually spent a lot of time learning something. You know, we've tried, and through trial and error, we've become quite good at something, and we tend to undervalue it because, as you say, we think, well, anyone could do this. But where we should realize that we have a lot of value is that we can take people on a faster journey to success than they would have to go through if they had to go through all the lessons that we did to get to where we are today.
Yeah. I was at an event yesterday morning, and two women spoke to me about the same topic. One was a photographer and one was a life coach. And both of them, in private conversations with me, said, look, people at my family have said to me, who would pay you for that? And it really affected their belief system within themselves as well. And they had a lot to offer. And I said, your family will never pay you for it. Don't go there at all. But it's what others see. But, yeah, it really affected, their belief system.
Well, and that comes down to who you're taking your advice from. And, unfortunately, a lot of us, we've been looking to our family and our friends, you know, to give us advice on relationships, how we should dress, what school we should go to. For, you know, growing up, we've been looking to these people as expert advisors, you know, in our lives. But over time, you start to evolve and you grow up, and those people are maybe not the best mentors for you, especially in your career. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And it happens personally in my own household here, you know, that I just go and do things myself. And if I had been waiting for approval or acceptance or somebody to, you know, motivate me to do it, I wouldn't have achieved anything that I've achieved. But when I get it done, my husband goes, wow, that's pretty cool. I can't believe people pay you that much for it, but it's great and I love to see it. But if I had have asked him for permission or for his
it was a good idea and generally what happens is people are just coming from a position, the people that care about you, they don't want to see you doing something that maybe they saw someone else fail at. You know, they're just trying to protect you. They're not and they're coming from their own model of what's possible and their own, you know, version of the world. So their own thought processes. Yes. So, and we're all different. And I actually have a little 5-part system that I teach a lot. And one of them, it's called my STARS system. And this is after working with hundreds and hundreds of people who had to go from never having told their story or never having written a book or, you know, put their knowledge out there as an expert. To what do I think are the top 5 areas that they need to focus on to get out of their own way and get out of the way of all the people that are maybe not intending to, but are holding them back through that lack of belief, you know, from their own model of the world.
Yeah.
And so I say to people, start with your strengths. So my STAR system is strength, tribe, authority, reach, and scale. And I'll explain that to you. So I say one of the things that we often do is we hold ourselves back because we think, well, I'm not an expert yet, so I'm not ready to actually get out and speak on this topic. But how do you suppose you become an expert? It's actually by claiming that, you know, by saying, well, this is something that I'm really interested in and passionate about. So I'm going to become an expert through practice and experience. So you focus on something that you really could get excited about, that you would like to teach over and over and talk about in the media or talk about in interviews, you know, for years to come. And really come from a position of strength. And just being passionate about a topic sometimes is enough, because you will become an expert by the time you've interviewed a lot of people and, you know, you've researched your topic. And then the other thing, what I see a lot of people doing is they're focusing on areas of themselves that they think they need to improve on before they launch. But actually most of us do have an area in our lives where we've already achieved some success. So that's why I say it really starts with focus on what you're good at and build on that. You can bring in other people to help you with the areas that you're not strong in. We're never going to be, very few of us are good at everything, right?
And that's one of, I think women more so find that they have to be capable and competent at everything, and to ask for assistance and to ask for help with something is not on, so that if they're not good enough, then they just won't do it.
Yeah, you're right. We are very hard on ourselves. Women do tend to be very self-effacing. We think, oh well, who would want to hear my story? Or and then you actually talk to them and you say, my goodness, you have a fantastic story, you know. And they're a bit timid about quite often about really getting out there and coming from that position of power. But I think if you turn it around and you think, I'm doing this because I want to help people. I want to be of service. I want to share what I know. Then, and you stop focusing on yourself being the person that's the focus, and you focus on your audience or the people you can help. It helps you take away that fear or that worry about being judged or that worry about not being enough. You know,
And that's a perfect tip. And that's one of the tips that I give people with when they're selling, is that if they're worried, if they're concerned about what people will think, if they're too pushy, it's their ego getting in the way and they're not focused enough on what they can offer the prospective client. Because if they know they're good at something and it would save people money, time, energy, pain, then it's a bit of an ego issue on their own behalf about how bad they'll feel if somebody personally rejects them because they haven't done the connection right, rather than what they can offer.
Actually leads me beautifully into the next part of my system, which is making sure that you're targeting the right, and I call it tribe because I wanted a T word, but it's basically getting really clear on who you can help. So if you're trying to sell the wrong thing to people, something they don't need or want, then you will be faced with, you know, a lot of rejection and it's going to be difficult. And you're not going to feel fulfilled or satisfied, you know, from the transaction, even if you do manage to convert it into a sale. But if you actually make sure that you really know who you can help and you're targeting the right people and you've spent some time identifying who are the people that you most want to work with. And this is one thing that I've had to work on a lot in my business, because what I do is a huge, you know, it's a huge topic. I mean, I help people with their books, their message, their marketing, and their speaking. Obviously, I could help lots and lots of people in lots of different industries, but I've over the years of working with different types of people, I've figured out who do I like working with, who are the ones that I can get the best results for, who's a good fit for me, and then I specifically market to those kind of people. And I think this is a good, that's really another really key factor, is making sure that you are focusing your effort on talking to the people that you really can provide great value for, you know, the ones that have a need that you have the solution for.
And then talking about that, how would you then position yourself in that market?
I mean, so if you know, for instance, that you're, you, like you and I were talking earlier today about how you really enjoy working with solopreneurs. So you know that you could work in the corporate space, and you do work in the corporate space, and it's a very different market. Working, teaching corporates how to craft their presentations is a very valuable business. There's nothing wrong with it. It's needed, and you do that. But your passion is in helping people who are at a different level. It's a different kind of languaging. They're dealing with a different kind of client base, and they have different needs, right?
So, yes.
So you would actually look, what's wonderful today, what's really wonderful is that we can actually go direct to markets so effectively. In the past, I've been in business for a long time, as I'm sure, you know, some of your listeners have, and you might have been. But in the past, we had a lot of gatekeepers. It was expensive to advertise. You know, we would have to maybe go in the yellow pages, which used to be a fairly significant investment. And if we got it wrong, if we got our messaging wrong, we were stuck with it for the whole year. You know, we would have to maybe do expensive advertising, which quite often didn't produce results. And again, until our magazine ad or a TV ad or wherever we were doing came out, we didn't know if it was going to work. What's amazing today is that thanks to the internet, we have so many means of going direct to the market, doing testing, seeing if we're on path with our marketing, whether we've got the right message to our market, and then tweaking it very quickly and very inexpensively. So thanks to incredible mediums like LinkedIn, where we can connect with thousands of people in a highly targeted way, or Facebook, which gives you incredible demographic information. So what's incredible about Facebook is that as when people sign up with their Facebook accounts, they start to, you know, Facebook starts to know what they're interested in and what their hobbies are and how old they are and whether they're a male or female. So you've now got access to incredible demographics. We can also find them in groups of where they're interested. You know, they've joined, say, a business networking group or a particular health group, and you can talk to them in that language, and you know that they're interested because they're already in that community. As a speaker, you can go out and speak at, say, business networking groups again if you've got a business solution. And then it really becomes, you know, so those are just examples. There's a lot of ways now that we can go out, test our message. And you and I are both big proponents of doing online trainings like this one, where you can deliver a lot of value. And the people that like what you have to say will resonate with you, and they'll actually start to engage with you further. And it's very low cost. It's really just us getting out there, having a great conversation, showing that we understand our market's needs, and then offering solutions, which the people who need our solutions can then engage in a buying conversation with us and potentially become clients.
And, yeah, part of that, you know, building that position, to position yourself, is, I would suppose, is that consistency as well.
So, yeah, so we'll talk about positioning, because you did ask about that. So I believe that one of the things that I've noticed when I'm working with a lot of my clients is that a lot of them have just been working in their business. So they've been building a business, or and I had kind of an interesting, really good foundation in working with people who are starting businesses, because when I, about, 20 years ago, I was having babies, And I stopped working corporate and I started making children's clothes. I always loved making clothes. So I started a children's clothing business.
It's quite different than what you do now.
Yeah. I've done all sorts of things. I've had a lot of different businesses. And what I think is kind of fun is I think the reason I've been successful in most of my business, I think all my businesses, is that I never come from a position of ego. Like I wasn't a fashion designer. I wasn't trained as a fashion designer. So what I did was I listened to my customers and I said to them, you know, I started asking them, what did they want more of? And I made more of that. And I think if you, this is one of the great things about going into a new business and not coming from a position of, well, I was trained and this is the way it's done. If you can learn to actually really listen to your customers, and there's a limit to that. I will put a parameter around that.
Yes.
You'll get, you know, people will tell you whether they want ridiculous things. So you do have to filter all that information and collect it in a strategic way so that you find that sweet spot between what they need and want and what you are prepared to commit to delivering, right? So what fits for you as well and what's going to be profitable and successful in your business. But if you have those really good quality conversations, they will tell you what's the next step in your business. So so then you start, once you are clear on what your customers need and what you want to deliver or what's a good strength, you know, play for you, then you have to start building your own expertise brand if you want to really position yourself well to attract all that business in a more automated and effortless way. So if we don't want to have to be out there selling ourselves constantly and constantly trying to, you know, drum up business, one of the most valuable things you can do is start building your personal brand. And what I found was after working with all these people, they had spent a lot of time maybe building a business website or running business training programs or, you know, building up that business brand, but they had neglected building their own personal brand. So that's one of the areas that I really love helping with people with now. And that is, have you registered the domain name in your name, you know, so that you can start building up your equity in your own brand? And do you have a simple website up that tells people about you and what you do? And again, strategically, so that it's attracting the right people into your circle. And then do you have a Facebook page, you know, about you and what you do? Do you have a LinkedIn profile that's strategically been, you know, engineered to communicate that message? And then it's really just a matter of kind of looking at all the other platforms. You know, have you written a book? A book is a really great way of communicating your expertise to people and in your voice. And then do you have that on the appropriate platforms like Amazon and iBooks and wherever it is your ideal audience is likely to be? So that's how you start positioning yourself. And then you can go into more depth, like what kind of a brand do you have? So do you have brand colors? Do you have a brand look? If, you know, is it appropriate to your ideal target market? Are you communicating the right message to that market? So it's an ongoing process where you're always, you know, working on it. You've got to take time to step out of your business and look at what are you building and have you covered all the bases? When people Google you, what are they finding? Are they finding the right information about you?
Yeah, and that's, I mean, all of that is that part of that positioning. It's a fun, quite a fun thing to do, isn't it, to Google yourself and just see where you come up and how you come up as and how you present. Because as we've spoken before, that's a lot of the time when people, when they're checking you out before they'll pay you money, they will Google you.
Yeah, and so they should, because, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are offering programs that don't deliver. And we've all got to be a little bit careful now how we spend our, what we invest our time and money into. And so people will, if they're doing their due diligence, they will Google you and they want to see. And where I think it's really valuable to put this effort in to building your brand is that it's equity that you're building in your own, how can I explain it? It actually makes your time more valuable. The more you position yourself as a quality provider in your area of expertise, the more people are likely to invest in you at the level that you really should be and deserve to be getting compensated.
No, that's an extremely good point, isn't it? And that makes a lot of sense with a lot of the solopreneurs that I'm, you know, working with a lot, and that you'd find the same too. They can't be found as a brand themselves, and so they they're struggling then to get clients.
Yeah, they're having to sell themselves all the time. They're having to overcome all this doubt.
Mm.
Whereas there's so many wonderful ways now that we can deal with all of those worries and objections that people might have about us by building up our personal profile in a credible way, professional way, so that we can help remove those worries and doubts from people so that they can move forward with us with more confidence.
Mm. Yeah, and one of the things too is your Facebook business page, whether it is your name or your brand name, but a lot of people I've found, and this is very personal opinion on this, is they're scared to keep their personal page as something that they can be busy on and, you know, welcome lots of visitors to. And it's something that I don't have a problem with at all, because it's Janine Vosper. That's who I am. So I'm happy to put up things about me, and I just have to be very cautious about putting anything negative or anything that's going to, you know, attract unwanted attention. But it's my brand. It's who I am. So it's consistent as well.
Yeah. So when you're talking about a personal page, are you talking about, so we have our personal profile on Facebook, which is, when you first sign up to Facebook, you'll have an account that is your wall, they call it. You know, so you're posting stuff ongoing and interacting with people as you add them as friends, you know, on your wall. But then you have the option of setting up a brand page for you as a personal brand. So mine is Sydney O'Sullivan Author.
Mm-hmm.
And but on there, I don't post a lot, to be honest. I usually use it more for promotions, but I've built up a big following on there. It can get a bit overwhelming. I must admit that I'm in that stage now where I'm going to have to get some social media assistance on board because I've got too many pages to keep up, too many brands that I've launched to be able to do it all myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually investing now in a platform that allows me to, you know, come up with regular posts that go out automatically. So that's when you start getting too many brands going, then you do need to leverage, you know, that's when in my star system, I talk about building your authority, which is what we're talking about now, you know, your positioning and establishing your credibility. And then you start using all those platforms like Facebook and LinkedIn to start expanding your reach, going out and having those conversations with people. And I'm at the point now where I want to scale. So that's the last part of my star system.
Okay.
So I want to start using those communities that I've built. So I have a big Facebook group. I have, which is another medium on Facebook. So I've got about 4,000 members in a Facebook group. And again, they want interaction. They want valuable content. They want me to, you know, get in there and do some regular training. So now I'm looking at adding in Facebook Live, which is another great promotional tool where you can get on there, record some stuff. If you're out at events anyway, you can start to record, you know, maybe do some interviews or, you know, do some trainings on the spot. That goes on to Facebook. Facebook is really pushing video at the moment because they're in competition with YouTube. So they'll actually put some juice behind that, and you can boost it and you'll get even more, you know, Facebook views.
Okay.
Using those mediums. And then you can use those recorded videos as content that sits in your members area or sits in your groups or sits on your pages as value for your members. So once you've actually set up your pages, so were you talking about you've got a personal brand page, Janine Vosper?
No. I'm talking about just my personal.
Your profile?
I've just never had a problem with having my personal profile as the way for people to get in touch with me. I know others do.
And I'm the same. In fact, I actually used to have I had one that I used to communicate with my friends on, but then I found out, and then I had one that I did all my business with. But I found out that that's actually against Facebook's terms. I was at the time. I don't know if it is, but I think it is still. But Facebook doesn't like you to have multiple accounts.
Mm.
So I ended up retiring the one that was just for my friends. And now all my friends just have to hear about my business. And if they don't like it, they can unfollow me. My children have unfollowed me because they're like, Mom, we'll stay friends with you so you can continue to stalk us, but we don't want to hear all your business stuff.
Yeah.
So that's fair enough. I mean, that's one of those challenges you're going to have in life that we talked about right in the beginning of the call, which is you still want to have relationships with all those people you care about, but you can't expect them to be excited about your what you're excited about all the time. It's just not reasonable.
No.
So if they're not liking what you're posting and they're actually being really negative, I have unfriended people because I've sort of thought, well, if you're not on board with what I do, then you don't belong in my Facebook friends.
No.
It doesn't happen, but I have to do it occasionally.
No. Yeah. And that's the thing is if you're trying to position yourself in a certain market, well, then the people that, you know, I don't have any issue with anyone. You know, if I post something personal, if I had a car accident recently and posted that up and, or photos of my adorable grandchildren, I get a lot more comments. I get a lot more likes than I do the business stuff, but nobody ever complains about the business stuff either. So
yeah,
I just know what I'm doing. When
I was diagnosed with cancer last year, the girlfriend who told me to go and have the breast scan, I said to her, oh my goodness, you actually saved my life. You know, you're like my guardian angel. And she said, well, you're a public person. You have thousands of followers. Imagine how many lives you could save if you went public with your story.
Yeah. Wow.
So I actually made the decision that I was going to take my followers on the journey with me through the treatments.
Mm.
But I did it in a way that I didn't. I personally, because I work with a lot of motivational speakers and I'm in this business because I want to make the world a better place and I want to help, you know, inspire people. I personally took the decision that my breast cancer diagnosis didn't have to be a life sentence. I mean, as soon as they diagnosed me, I said to them, am I going to die? And they said, well, in Australia, we have a really good recovery rate. We have about a 95% recovery rate if you follow the system.
Mm.
So I thought, well, I like those odds. Okay. This doesn't have to be a life sentence. This can be a life makeover. I can look at this as an opportunity to get fit, improve my odds even more, get fit, lose weight, start getting out there, doing all those things that I've always wanted to do. Cut all that extra stuff out of my life that I don't enjoy doing that I'm doing because I don't know how to say no and really, really, you know, hone in and have a quality life for the rest of the time I've got left. So I took people on that journey with me and I tried to only share, you know, inspirational stuff about it, but it was great. You know, a lot of people went and got breast scans as a result of it. And you know, it was one of those things that my children said to me, oh, you're being a bit attention seeking, Mum, you know, putting your medical stuff up. But I think we do have to accept that once we've chosen to become a public person, that we have an opportunity to do some really great work in the world by being vulnerable. And, you know, I know that you talk to people a lot about finding their authentic voice, you know, and then selling from that place of authenticity and really wanting to be of value.
Yes.
And that's kind of where I came from as well. And people found it very, very inspiring.
And see, if you do something like that, if you're speaking like about being authentic as you are getting your message across and then you don't do it, then I think it disconnects people as well because you're not remaining in that authentic space as to who you are.
Yes, true. Good point. Yeah. I mean, you have to sort of take a stand. You have to say, well, I'm going to step up and make a difference in the world. And in that situation, you're going to go through some discomfort. When you actually put yourself out there in the public eye, which we can do so effectively nowadays, the more you want to be in the public eye, the more the opportunities are there these days with mediums like Facebook Live and YouTube. And, you know, you can actually build a big following very quickly with some dedicated focus. But you will then have some discomfort because you're going to, every now and then, you are going to have people criticize you. You are going to occasionally, you know, have people who disagree with your point of view. And there are some people out there that are big fans of controversy. You know, that's another way of building a engaged following is to have a lot of controversy conversations or use controversy in your marketing. But you've got to be comfortable with that because that is going to attract a lot more sort of uncomfortable conversations.
Yeah, I know a couple of people that do that. And I definitely would be comfortable with it.
Yeah, so you and I, we're more like, so I when I was speaking in India, you asked me about speaking in India. I got an opportunity to go and speak with speakers from around the world. And there was one guy who got up and did one of those really clever presentations that was very, very, he said, watch my speech. There's some wizardry in it. And he was a great speaker, but he was doing a selling from stage technique where he got, you know, people to come up on the stage and made them an offer and said, and if I gave this to you for free, would you, how many of you would take it now? And it was a way of getting them to say yes before he then gave them the price. And it was all very cleverly crafted. Mm. And at the end of it, somebody said to me, one of the other speakers said, would you want to do that? And I said, you know, I thought it was great when he did it. I thought it worked really well for him and good luck to him. But I personally have chosen to teach people how to do what I call persuasive presenting, which is building trust from the moment. I like to work on a system that I've been developing where you're giving great value, maybe holding a little bit back so that you do have something to sell at the end of it if you want people to engage with you and start paying you for your expertise. Mm-hmm. But my personal style is to build trust. I want people to go from not knowing me when I first step on stage or when they first come on one of my webinars or one of my training programs to over the time that we're together thinking, wow, I really like what this person is saying. I really feel good about it. I'd like to be friends with this person. I feel confident to move ahead into a client relationship.
Yeah.
So I just don't believe that any form of manipulation or kind of like wizardry and trickery fits into that because I just don't, it's just not a fit for me. Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense to me because that's exactly how I prefer to position myself as well, mm-hmm. is that people will see value and that they trust me to deliver what I'm saying that I'm going to deliver. And I haven't yet had, in all the years, had someone come back and say, you aren't the person that you haven't represented yourself as when you deliver, especially when you're delivering the training and the results that they expected. So,
yeah. And it just means you start off with really great relationships. Like almost, mm-hmm. I would say most of my clients, would be happy to call friends, you know, because they're great people. Mm. I tend to attract the kind of people that I would want to have in my life as a result of the way that I'm marketing myself. Mm. And that means joy all around. And have I always attracted the right clients? No. I mean, we learn this through experience. In the past, I've attracted a lot of people who wanted the silver bullet, you know, because I didn't really know my market. You know, I hadn't done the work. And so I was, yeah, sure, I can sell marketing packages. I can be a slick salesperson. I've done it in the past. But I was attracting the wrong kind of clients. I was attracting people who wanted ridiculously fast results that were unrealistic and, you know, undeliverable mm-hmm. on my part.
Yeah.
So then you have this mismatch between what you've sold and the client's expectation. And then you've got a problem all the way along. Now you've got conflict. Now life is not a joy. You're not enjoying your business. And so if any of your listeners are finding that they are dealing with a lot of clients that seem to want way more than they thought they were going to have to deliver, it could be because you haven't managed those expectations right from the start. You haven't actually set out clear goals and expectations of what you can deliver for what you've been paid.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And it's as simple when I'm running a workshop is at the beginning of the workshop, I get everyone to write down what results they want to achieve by the end of the workshop so that yeah. we're all on the same page and then they can define exactly what they want. And I know we've done that with some discussions we've had today too, is figure out exactly what you want. And I think that's obviously a really important part of with what you're doing and with your clients is having them just know exactly where they want to go and what they want to get out of it.
Yes. And what are we building here? You know, so a lot of my clients, first meet me because they want to do a book and someone recommends me. And so then I help them plan out their book. And the very first conversation I have with them is, what are we building? What is this book a promotional or marketing tool to attract? Mm. Who are the people that we want to get in front of? Who do we want? Who's going to be attracted by this book? Who's going to resonate with your message and want to do more with you? So it's a planning process. And what I find is really funny is that I've worked with people on all sorts of different levels. I've been You know, I've been a business mentor. I've been a business coach. I've had people pay me very large amounts of money to help them with their marketing strategies. And they hate the planning process. It's quite funny. It's like they'll resist it. You know, they'll put it off. But it's so important to plan what you're building. Mm. Do you agree, Janine?
No, absolutely. And I know that's one of the things that some of the people book into me for the sales sales workshops just to get the plan at the end so they know what they have to go and do in regards to their sales and what steps they have to take to achieve what they want to do, because it's just not the way that they can think themselves. So out of all of I get testimonials at the end, out of everything that they've learned, that'll be one of the things that a lot of people say, that it was the best part. It was hard, as you said, but it was the best part because at least they know they've got action steps to take rather than just being a wishy-washy dream that something might just happen magically one day.
And frankly, it's very complicated these days if you don't know what you're doing. Mm. And even for those of us who, like, I have a wide range of knowledge now on Facebook marketing, LinkedIn marketing, book marketing, book launches, speaker marketing. You know, I've done all these things over the last few years. And how I got into speaker marketing was I, like many people, went to a seminar. Mm. I saw somebody up on stage changing lives. She was doing a phenomenal job on stage. And I just thought, wow, I want to do that. I want to get up on stage and change thousands of lives like this. This is incredible, right? And how do I learn how to do that? And then I then spent many years going to other people's seminars, studying NLP, studying psychology, reading books, running trainings, working with clients, you know, so that I started to, and over the years, I've learned a lot of different marketing techniques and worked with a lot of amazing high earning speakers and marketers. And it can be overwhelming. There are so many areas that you could be spending your time on now. Mm. Did you agree that, like, you know, we were talking earlier about, well, which is the right? So it might be that if you were, for instance, going to market to the corporate market, that you would choose LinkedIn because they're more likely to be responsive on LinkedIn if that's where your market is. And then what I suggest to people is you then get a really good marketing system going on LinkedIn before you then start trying to master Instagram or Facebook or another platform.
Yeah.
Because we can get into overwhelm very quickly these days if we haven't got a clear plan about how we're going to set it up, who we're talking to, who do we want to attract, who do we want to work with, what kind of results do we know we can get them, genuine, real results that we know that they're going to be happy with, so then they then are happy to refer us and business then starts getting easier and easier. Mm-hmm. And then how do we then automate that so that it's all running fairly smoothly and it doesn't have to, you don't have to keep reselling and keep remarketing yourself. Mm. And then what's the next platform that I might want to go and do this same type of thing on?
Yeah. And that sort of leads into your takeaway points that you were talking about. And we haven't touched on yet, but I know you and I were talking about earlier, is it's not much use doing that unless you hone your story.
Yeah, so that's the foundational thing, is really getting clear on your story. And you should be able to tell people the value proposition, you know, what is the solution that you provide and for who, in a minute, 30 seconds, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it takes. You should be able to deliver that in a clear and concise way. And that doesn't come easily. That's a crafting process to get that clear on who you're talking, you know, who you are, what you do, who it is that you do it for, and what's the value that client base gets out of working with you.
Yeah. And honing it without, I hear pitches because I speak at events, a couple of events a week. I hear pitches at these events that are all benefits and features and not how you've just crafted that then as to the value that's in it for somebody and what you
feel. Oh, it's amazing. I see so many people who, you know, back when I was, you know, when I used to, a few years ago, when I first started my business, I used to teach people about creating wealth. So one of my books is basic strategies on, you know, creating wealth based on my experiences of building businesses over and over and making wealth in real estate and stock market. So because I was positioning myself as a wealth expert, you can imagine how many people came to me and asked me to fund their businesses. Mm. It was a real problem. I had people coming to me all the time. Every time anybody needed money, they'd come to me thinking I was going to give it to them. And most of them, very, very few of them ever thought about why I would want to invest. Mm. That almost all of them would say to me, oh, I need this and you've got the money and you should fund this because it's going to whatever, you know, because they're very self-centered in their pitches. And it's the same when you're marketing yourself. You need to really be focused on your clients. What are their needs? Mm. How do you talk to them about their problems and show them that you actually understand their problems and have the solutions? And that's when they'll start really connecting with you.
Yeah. And honing that message to do that is vital. So your second takeaway point, Cindy.
So, yeah. So I would say my takeaway points are hone your stories. So, and here's another thing that you and I have talked about in the past. Sometimes you need, and most often you will need someone who's an expert to help you with this story honing. Mm. You need someone who's a professional to really look at it from the outside, looking in, to help you get clear on taking your entire life experience and turning it into the right message. And that's because we're too close. So we're too, we often don't realize how incredible our stories are because we've been living them, you know, and we feel uncomfortable. There's all sorts of reasons, but it can be really helpful to have a mastermind team or, you know, advisors who are on board with you, understand what your mission and vision is, to really help you hone that message, because you don't want somebody who's just going to say, oh yeah, I know how to market you. You are this, this, and this. And it doesn't fit. You know, it doesn't feel good for you because you're never really going to buy into that. Mm. You need somebody who's going to understand what your goals are and then help you take what you've done and craft it into the right message. And this is where you don't get this advice from your family and friends because they're not professionals, right?
No.
And when you're looking for someone, you want someone who's had results, someone who's done this again and again and has had success doing it. So that's a good, you know, that's the due diligence you want to do is, does this person really know how to do this and help me properly?
Yeah, totally.
And then my second takeaway point would be, I'm a huge fan of publishing, and that's why I have focused on books and speaking and social media. And now media, I've all now moved into mainstream media as well. And that is, we have access to publishing like we never had before. It used to be that when you wanted to get a book out, you had to go through a process of writing a book proposal, then getting, you know, in front of people who decided whether or not it was going to get published. They more often than not would reject than accept. Mm. And it was a pretty soul destroying process trying to get a book published. But now we can actually take our books straight to market, and it's so much easier than it's ever been before. And that's where I think it's important, going back to step one, is making sure you write the right book. And I've made this mistake myself. It's easy to write a book. It's actually not easy to write a book, but let's just say, even if you found it really easy to write a book, it can be easy if you go about it. Like, I've developed a system now, and you have as well, you know, how you took your trainings and created a book from that.
Yes.
And I think that's a great way to write books. I'm totally on board with that. That's what I do with a lot of my clients, because then the book is a companion to the training, and it's all synergistic and it's all aligned, you know, with your message.
Totally.
But what happens a lot is I get approached by authors who've already written a book that isn't doing anything to help them in their business, and there really isn't a market for their book. And then they have to decide whether they're going to put a whole bunch of effort into marketing a book that isn't really helping them, or if they're going to just start over and write a different
book.
Yeah. So I think it's really important to get the right book that complements where you want to go. It's a building tool. Mm. And then publish that, because nowadays you can get a book up on Amazon, and Amazon is massive. It gets you in front of, you know, all over Google.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you can publish on other platforms. You can put some effort behind it, get onto Goodreads and other platforms like, you know, Ingram and distribution networks, and find a distributor, and as much effort as you want to put in, you can start really getting your book out there. Then you can also start using all that content that you've, you know, created for your book, for instance. So I think what's really great is to get that book written, because now you've got, what it does is it helps you hone your whole story into a really nice, neat, clarified message. It's a bit of a journey to go from conceptualizing a book, planning it, structuring it, and getting it written. But once you've done that, you have incredible clarity of your message. Do you agree?
I do, and it becomes consistent then. It's repeatable because it's yours, but you've defined it.
Yes. And so now you have all kinds of content that you can turn into articles. You can start getting in local media, in mainstream media. You can get on as a guest blogger on other people's large blogs that have lots of audiences. Mm. You can turn some of that content into YouTube videos or Facebook Live videos. You can start, create Instagram. You can start repurposing all that content. Again, it's all the same message and it's all consistent with your brand and your messaging. And you can start using it in lots of different platforms to get you published, which all helps build your credibility and starts building your authority.
No,
and build your audience, building your reach.
Now, we've got about 2 minutes for you to give your third takeaway point. I mean, they're so valuable and there's so much information on. And can you believe how quickly this time goes?
And then I think really the big thing is build your personal brand. So all the time be thinking, am I building my personal brand? So with this, how am I building my brand? Am I building my name as an author? Am I building my name as a speaker or as an expert in my field? And I would say that building your personal brand equals income and equity. So when I got the cancer diagnosis, I had to stop work for a few months while I was getting the treatments. I still kept working on some publishing projects that I had going, after my treatments, but I had to really stop working full time because I had 5 surgeries and it was radiation and so you can only do what you can do. And the big lesson for me was that I it was like, oh God, I'm going to have to start over because I've had to take this time off work. But what was amazing was as soon as I was ready to go back to work, because I had my brand in place, I was able to get out, start speaking again, relaunch my business in a new, cleaner, more a business that I was much happier to have right away on the back of the fact that I had already built that brand. So you've built this massive foundation that you can keep leveraging and you can keep increasing your value that you take with you from job to job, business to business.
No, that's and look, even if it's, and I'm just thinking about even if it's a job, it's how people get to be the top paid executives in this country is because of their personal brand that they take from position to position rather than, the job they do, it's who they are.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And it also helps you stand out. And this is one of the biggest challenges that we have in today's market because it's so easy to get online and to build your brand. You're going to be one of many in a huge sea of competitors because we're competing with people all over the world now for whatever we do, unless we've got a very, very localized business. But what this does, building your personal brand and building that expertise and showing people that you have an area of highly niched expertise, it actually helps you really pop out as a solution over and above your competitors.
Yeah. And that's, and because you are who you are. I mean, you could have a name of your business, which is similar to, there's lots of life coaches out there that all have similar sort of brands, but your name is your name.
Yes. And the name will actually make the difference. If you've built your expertise up in this and you've got a good, strong following, you'll find that you're not competing on price anymore. Now you're competing on, it's really just about offering the right value to people and you can start marketing at a higher and higher rate, which means that you've got more money to spend on your business, more money to spend on your marketing, more money to enjoy your life, more money to do good works in the world. So I'm a big fan of all of us learning how to sell ourselves at a higher level, be able to earn as much as is possible because that gives you freedom to do all the things that are really important in life.
Yeah, no, and absolutely agree. It's just so many principles that you and I resonate on it and, have had different journeys but have similar perspectives on life and business and enabling people to achieve and to be able to find that self-belief and that joy in having a successful business, which is just so vital.
And it's no coincidence that we met and were attracted to work together because we're both coming from our authentic space. So what happens is this beautiful magic happens and you start resonating with people who are like you and have similar goals and visions. And you can start working on these great projects that make a huge difference, for a lot of people. And you can trust them because you're resonating. You're coming from a similar place of integrity and
No, respect. I totally agree. And look, this has been, I've just had one, that this hour has just passed so quickly, Sydney. It's been a wonderful time. How do people get in touch with you, and what do you want them to do if they're listening to this podcast?
Well, I would love them to grab a copy of my book, which is Your Million Dollar Message, so that I can take them through a little bit more detail on what I see a lot of people doing wrong when they're building their personal brand and how they can more effectively monetize and build mm-hmm. their brand. And to grab a copy, they just go to millionaire-training.com, mm-hmm. which is my domain website that I've set up for them to get a copy of the book. And so it's http://millionaire-training.com. Mm-hmm. And once they get a copy of the book, then they'll also be on my mailing list and invited to, if we do webinars, which we do from time to time, or we're doing mm-hmm. live events, then they'll be invited along. And, you know, and just if my contact details are in the book, if they want to talk to me more, if you think you've got a book in you that you've been wondering how you were going to get it out, then I'm happy to, you know, help you and see what we can do together. And if I believe there's a market for it and if it's a good fit for you mm-hmm. and us. And I just hope that everyone's gotten great value. I really hope that they've gotten some clarity from listening to you and I, Janine. We just really want to share what it's taken us. It does decades to hone, yeah. don't we?
Decades. Absolutely.
Yeah. We want it to be easier for you than it was for us, right?
Look, thank you very much for your time, Sydney. And I'll spell your name out as well, so that if people want to track you down through Facebook and the other social media. So Sydney, starting with a C instead of an S, but it's the name of the city, and it's O. What do you call that? Apostrophe.
Apostrophe.
Yeah. I just
O'Sullivan.
Lost the word then. O'Sullivan.
But if I've done my job right, they should be able to type out Sydney O'Sullivan in any form and it should find me.
Excellent. All right. You have a wonderful cold Sydney day, Sydney, and and enjoy. And thank you very much for your time today. And that's another episode.
Thank you for having me as a guest, Janine. And just, you know, have a wonderful day yourself in lovely, warm, sunny
thank
Brisbane.
You, Sydney. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. And I'm Janine Vosby, your host. And I look forward to you joining us next time. Bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.